2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
It's called a child care cliff, and we are set to go over the edge of it this weekend. Why? Well, I think a lot of us probably don't remember this, but back in 2021, Congress infused a lot of money into the economy. We know that part, but what we didn't realize is there were billions of dollars infused into child care facilities, whether there's at-home facilities or, you know, brick-and-mortar buildings that we, you know, drop our kids off at. That money is going to expire. It's exhausted at the end of this week, which is Saturday, and the fallout from it will most likely be felt in terms of child care centers needing to cut back staff, according to surveys that have been done of directors of child care centers, and also having to raise prices.
Yeah, and this is going to be brutal for families that have kids that are dealing with daycare. It was all part of the American Recovery Act, and it was tens of billions of dollars. I think it was $24 billion that was set aside. They would be sent directly to the daycares, and then they could use that kind of however they wanted to either pay for mortgages or leases, however they wanted to use it, and that money's drying up.
So the New York Times, and I read this, actually, this article, the Deseret News, and they cited a New York Times article saying that one of the daycare providers here in Utah said she used a pandemic grant money to raise her staff's hourly wages to $15 an hour. And then when the grant ends, she's going to have to raise tuition. It would be really difficult to go into work on Monday morning and call a staff meeting and say, we are going to take your wages back down to $12 or $10 an hour, where they were pre-pandemic, because we know that daycares, I mean, they really took the brunt of a lot of this. They had to shut down, and then families went home, and they didn't go back to work, and so they weren't taking kids to daycare. So this was, that money was a way to, you know, give workers who returned to, or stayed with the daycare more, a higher wage, and compete with fast food restaurants. So this is going to be tricky if they do start raising rates even more. I'm looking at, I posted this on Facebook earlier today, Dave, and people are paying $1,200 a month, $1,100 a month just for one child.
Carlos Artiles Fortune is joining us right now. He's a producer here at KSL. And Carlos, we've talked to you in the past about your daycare situation because you have a three-year-old. You've been doing this for probably a year and a half. What's the going rate?
Right now, we actually got a notice last week that it was raised to $250 a week. So I used to pay $225 weekly, and now it's going up
another $25.
Another $25.
So, yeah, so $100 a month.
$100 more a month is. And what did you start her at? Was it $225, or was it even cheaper than
that? It was $225, and it's usually more expensive the younger they are. So
okay.
When she moved to an upper class, we were, oh, that's great. It's going to be $200. Fantastic. That lasted 2 weeks because we were informed that it was going to be $225. And then, 10 months later, now they're raising it to $250.
What can you afford? Or is there a breaking point? Or is this just one of those situations where you both work and you have to pay whatever the going price is?
It's that situation. I mean, both my wife and I work here in Salt Lake City. So we just have to do it and upfront it. I don't think we can afford right now to not have a school option.
So, I mean, this might be a little personal, but I wonder how this is impacting families' decisions nowadays to have more than one or two children. If you're looking at $1,100 a month, or in your case, $1,000 a month right now, for just one child, is this a consideration?
Oh, we've talked about it. We want to have a second kid, and it is something that has definitely raised our concerns because, you know, we always want to have a year with the baby and then move it to daycare. And we have done the math. I'm like, well, if we wait until our first one is five, we can kind of have...
Because she'll be in school.
She'll be in school. It will be less money, you know, because I don't think we could afford to have two kids in daycare. That's something that we definitely couldn't do.
So what does the schedule look like? How many days a week does she go and for how many hours?
She goes every day, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Thankfully, I come in a little bit later, so I take her in at around 9, and then my wife picks her up at around 5.
Okay, so an 8-hour day that she's there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at it, and I think, listen, I feel the pain. I've been there with you, but $1,000 for full-time daycare, that breaks down to about $6.25 an hour. If you're talking about what you're paying to have your child there, and I think, well, what are the people getting paid? What were their hourly wage, Deb? And you said a lot or had moved up to about $15 an hour. And, well, if that's the case, then you can see how it's not like these daycare centers are raking in money hand over fist. Mm-hmm. You can see their margins are probably pretty slim themselves.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't help you at all, Carlos, because all you see is, wow, this is such a strain on our family.
Yeah, and I love the school. I mean, she loves her teachers, you know, but yeah, it's definitely, it's hard. It's very hard.
You're concerned that with this pandemic money running out, that the price tag will go up even more?
A little bit, yes, because, I mean, there's so many factors, and, you know, the school has a lot of kids. They have a lot of staff. They're all great. And, you know, even maybe the quality going down, maybe not even the price, but if they have to cut staff or anything, that's just kind of what I'm worried about.
And you, I remember your journey trying to find daycare for your little one. That was already tough. You were very stressed out in the newsroom about it, if I am remembering the scenario,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we had barely moved and we wanted something near our house. And that's complicated. And I think we were 3 to 4 months in the wait list. When we found the daycare, but before we just didn't even know we could find anything that had anything less than 6 months of a wait list.
I think we have looked into some solutions. So obviously what is going on right now is you've got a federal grant program, so federal money that is helping subsidize. But we've also discussed some of the private sector solutions, like perhaps an employer could offer some sort of on-site daycare or child care. Sometimes these are offered at elementary schools, at hospitals. They sometimes offer these things. Would that play a role in you choosing where you work? If they offered child care as a benefit, so to speak, would you be willing to sacrifice money some other benefits to have childcare at work?
I think so, because you're not sacrificing money. I think you're probably saving money if it's right there, it's peace of mind, you're next to them, you know. That would be a huge benefit. Yeah, that would definitely, I would think about where I work. If there was something that was offering me that, that would be amazing.
So Carlos is one of our producers here at KSL News Radio and is talking to us because he's got buy-in, like a lot of other Utah families, with this concern about this cliff that the child care money is going to go over after the weekend. It's going to be exhausted, and there's potential that we're going to have child care centers will have to cut staff, potentially raise tuition to make up for the money that they will no longer be receiving. You're from Spain.
Yes.
How do they do it in Spain?
In Spain, school starts when they're three. So it's very easy. Like, you don't have to worry about, you know, work and life schedule is a lot easier because once I turn three, we have public schools, you know, and yeah, they just go to school like regular kids.
Full time?
Full time.
Full time at three?
Yep.
Man, I have a heart attack about sending kindergartners full time at five and they send them at three. That's but I can see where that would be an absolute home run as far as childcare.
Yeah.
Carlos, thank you for joining us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America.
But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.